Hey, welcome everyone. I'm Dawn Newton, host of Open Air on KPOV 889 FM High Desert Community Radio in Bend, Oregon. Airing Wednesdays at 5 p.m., Open Air is a weekly one-hour entertainment talk show featuring conversations with authors, local youth, entertainers, sports figures, and more.
She's a real woman with a real life. She's someone you can relate to. Open Air with Dawn Newton.
Welcome to Open Air. I'm your host, Dawn Newton. Joining me today is poet, writer, and hip-hop educator, Tony Keith Jr. He makes his debut with a powerful young adult memoir, tracing his journey from being a closeted gay black teen, battling poverty, racism, and homophobia, to becoming an openly gay first-generation college student who finds freedom in poetry.
It's such a pleasure to speak with you, Tony Keith Jr. This is your story. I mean, it's a young adult memoir in verse, talking about your journey. And I just appreciate that putting that out there. And just your journey alone is very inspiring and empowering.
Oh, thank you. You can't see this, or I don't know if you get, but I have my hand over my chest. I felt that. Thank you so much.
Well, and talk too about the book. I mean, I can read off, what it's about, from being a closeted gay black teen, battling poverty, racism, homophobia, to becoming an openly gay first-generation college student who finds freedom in poetry. I mean, there's so much depth to your story as far as, I mean, we all struggle with, sometimes I think, I guess the common term is like imposter syndrome. Who am I? What is my worth? Where do I fit in? And how you dealt with that and how in the memoir, how you articulate that. Tell us about being able to do that and realizing I got to tell my story, because a lot of us are like, oh, I ain't got a story. Like, who's going to want to listen to my story? Then what makes me so special? Or, there's people that have it way worse than I do. We just kind of keep a scorecard on our value.
Yeah. Ooh, a scorecard on the value. That really hits on something. So how this book kind of really came to be in this like material form is, I've been sharing this story, I think, kind of all day because it's true. I mean, it's true. I was visiting some schools with one of my dear friends, Jason Reynolds, who we all know is a well-known author, and he's talking to young people in schools about his life as a writer, and I'm talking about my life as a poet, so, the page versus the stage. And after every event, there was always a book signing. And Jason being Jason, there's tons of people out there to get his fabulous books. And in one of these lines, and I'm sitting next to Jay, a woman gets out of line, a black woman with a little brown-skinned boy, I'm assuming her son. He comes up to me and he says, "Where's your book?" Not, did you write a book? But like the book that you wrote, like, where is it? And, I guess sort of, and I think I told the little kid, I published on the stage or something really corny. But I go back to my hotel room that night and I just think like, wait a minute, what if that little boy was gay? What if his mom knew that or was thinking about that and they both needed something? There was this moment where I was like, I've got to write something for him. And then obviously he was a mirror to younger me. And I was like, I've got to write something that I should have had back then, something that would have helped me understand who I am.
I think that's sometimes our purpose, as we become adults, start adulting. It's like, that's where we get to use our wisdom and our experiences and try to filter that and help kids articulate. Cause depending on what age they are, they're not equipped with that ability to articulate or understand what they're feeling or what to call it
Language in particular, which is why, if you think, the boogeyman obviously is a metaphor for so many things I was afraid of. I had internalized racism, I had internalized homophobia, I had internalized sort of a mindset that I would always be poor, right? But I didn't have language to describe that, right? And I also didn't have language, besides the word gay, but this is important for readers to understand is, in this book, I don't really kiss my first boy until later in the game, meaning, as a young person, if someone were to ask me if I was gay, if I would have went to tell my family, hey, I'm gay, I would have had no way of, I didn't do anything, I hadn't done anything, besides feeling different, and I think that's the important part, I didn't have language for that, because I don't think I would, I think this is something we said, having the language, now I know if I had a book like this, it would have been like, oh, Tony, you were curious. You were questioning. You were, it would be more helpful language as opposed to Tony, you're bad. Tony, you're wrong. It's like, Tony, you're curious. You're questioning. You're wondering. You know?
No, exactly. I think, you know, even when children or youth act out and we're like, God, you know, what is your problem? Like, why are you so angry? That's because they don't know the words. Not that that's condoning or excusing the behavior, but maybe just take a minute and have a conversation and figure out, okay, wait, what? You're expressing yourself, maybe not in the most healthiest way, but it's an expression. So let's us adults get curious too.
Yes, yes. This is a form of communication, right? And so for me, it was internal, right? Because I was a kid who I was scared to speak out or speak up because I might get beat up or bullied or I didn't want my mom or my dad I was also deeply involved in my church as people reading this book. And so I'm with these forces that, you know, I don't believe that I can be myself in public because I might be at harm, right? And so I needed to find safety and survival. And so, you know, being able to write the poems, like, to myself, you know, a lot of which are, you know, as you've probably seen, are handwritten, photocopied in the book so people can actually see. But I had to write those poems to myself just because I needed to know that, A, I was human, so I can write this emotion and it's a real thing, but I don't have to call it sadness or anger. I can call it a boogeyman in the closet. I can call it, you know, feeling like my fingers are stuck in mud in the desert or whatever. But like finding poetic language to describe the emotion was key for me. And it still is. Still is.
How did you discover poetry? And did you know that's what you were writing when you were writing?
Yeah. I write in the book about my first time writing a poem that I have memories of. I was in third grade at Magani Elementary here in Washington, D.C. And it was called Seasons, I think. And it was something like all the leaves on the ground, red, yellow, green, and brown. Something, 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 something. I write about this in the book. And my teacher, in the book, I call her... I think Miss Light, because I name a lot of teachers in the book after some of my favorite hip-hop women MCs. Anyway, so that's Miss Light. But anyway, so Miss Light, I think it might have been Miss Light. But anyway, she loved my poem, and I remember her stapling it to the bulletin board out front of the classroom, and I was all excited. And then I was asked to MC my first school event for our principal, who also happened to be a black woman, by the way. And so, you know, I was like an MC and a poet, you know, as early as third grade. You know, and so it was something that was always sort of a part of me. Like, my teacher reinforced that. Like, Tony, you have a gift of words. Like, you have a really cool thing you do with writing and speaking. My grandfather, I mentioned this book, I name him Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop used to call me Mr. Guest Speaker. You know, I was always just a kid known for this thing. And I think that that's what happened was I was so encouraged as a young kid to write poetry. But the poetry that you all will read in this book wasn't poems that I was expecting anyone to ever see. That's the thing. It was sort of, I learned early on, like, how to write in rhythm and rhyme. And, you know, I'm also a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s listening to hip-hop music, and a lot of people don't realize that rap is really poetry just spoken over a time beat that must rhyme. A lot of rappers were poets. Tupac, Queen Latifah, KRS-One, like, were poets. Our poets, Lauryn Hill. And so I remember just sort of connecting poetry to rhythm and rhyme. And so I think that all that together just played a role into, like, how I developed that poetic voice. But poetry started third grade.
That's amazing. I mean, you had all these little nuggets of just, you know, what Pop-Pop said, the principal, the people around you. It's like, no, they saw that there in the very beginning, and then look at where you are today.
Yeah, that is a beautiful thing. I'm so glad you mentioned that I hope folks definitely get out of this book is, you know, there's a balance I tried to strike here was I grew up in a very supportive community, right? Like, my family was wildly supportive. You know, if anything, the people who I knew loved me, they loved me, like, real, real, real hard. It was just societal forces that I was battling that I didn't necessarily know. And so, yeah, I was always surrounded. And I'm so grateful for that, because I think that, though, and there's a part in the book, and I write about, you know, how I got into college. And it was like, yo, between, you know, the SAT practice book I had or whatever, between my mother's, you know, affirmations, between my best friends' good wishes, between my prayer, you know, like, it was like I had all of this support, and it was a great safety net, you know what I mean, to keep me together. I think absolutely between their love and the poems is how I survived to be a 43-year-old man to write this book.
That's amazing. Tony, where can we find your book and your work and, you know, continue being inspired by all that you're doing?
Thank you so much. So you can get How the Boogeyman Became a Poet almost anywhere books are sold, including online retailers. I always tell people I really appreciate it if you think about your independent local bookstores first. You can find me, www.tonykeithjr.com, or anywhere on social media at Tony Keith Jr.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. It's been such a great opportunity to meet you and get introduced to your work. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Open Air is written, produced, and hosted by Dawn Newton. Because I'm simple, complicated, underestimated.
Thanks for listening to this KPOV podcast. KPOV is community radio for the high desert of Central Oregon. For more information and our program schedule, go to kpov.org. We value your feedback. Drop us a note at podcast@kpov.org.